So the aim of this study is to evaluate a very simple expansion of the Neugebauer formula, where we want to measure the varying microreflectance of the Neugebauer primaries. And we do this by using microscopic images of half-cone prints. To explain the ideas behind this, I'm going to give a short historical background. I guess that many of you are familiar with this. The first model to predict the outcome of a half-tone print is the old Murray Davis from the 1930s. And the input is just the reflectance of the bare paper and the full-tone ink. And then the output reflectance for each area coverage is just a simple linear interpolation using the dot area fraction as a weight. And this is nice because it preserves the linear additivity of reflectance. You just add up the reflectance from the different areas. The extension to multiple colorant is straightforward. The Neugebauer formula is the same principle. You just sum up the reflectance from different chromatic areas, but including multiple and overlapping primaries. The problem, of course, with this approach is that the relation between the reflectance and the printed ink area is not linear because of light scattering in the paper causing optical dot gain. You will always have a lower real reflectance compared to the predicted one. In the 1950s, Yule and Nilsson proposed this non-linearity approximation to account for the optical dot gain, where you use this Yule-Nilsson n factor, which is an empirically derived constant, which you select to provide the best fit to experimental data. And you can apply this also to multiple colorants, which is usually called Yule-Nilsson modified Neugebauer, where you use this n factor also for the Neugebauer equation. And notice that the basic assumption in all these models is that the reflectance of the ink and the paper is constant. What you use as input is only the reflectance of the unprinted paper and the full-tone ink. In the 1990s, however, it was discovered that or shown that the reflectance of the ink in a paper is not constant. It varies with the printed dot area. At that time, an expanded Murray Davis function was proposed, where you let the reflectance of the ink and the paper vary depending on the dot area. So you use these functions for the microreflectance of the ink and paper to account for the optical dot gain. And now we're back to this very nice linear additivity, where it just sums up the different areas. The main problem, of course, with this approach is that you need to somehow derive these microreflectance measurements. And if you consider conventional measurements using a spectrophotometer, for example, then you have the reflectance average over a scan area, which is typically large compared to the printed halftone. So it's not possible to derive the microscopic measurements. Then you need to get in closer so you can actually distinguish the different halftone dots and then perform measurements on the different combination of primaries and the paper between them. So in previous work, we used this system, imaging system, to evaluate expanded Murray Davis. I will not go much into the details here, but the results was very accurate predictions for single colorant prints, and we also shown that the microreflectance for the ink and paper depend on both the halftone geometry. It's a very big difference between AM, AMM and FM, and also the print resolution. So these are some old results where in the middle you have the measured and the predicted output reflectance, and also you see how the reflectance of the paper and the ink varies with the dot area. So that leads us to the idea for this study, where we used IDs from the expanded Murray Davis formula to handle also multiple colorant and expanded Neugebauer. So the idea is very simple. You just include the area and let the reflectance vary for the Noege power primaries. And in this case, we use the colorimetric form, so we're predicting tristimulus values. And as you can see from the formula, this requires first to derive this microcolorimetric measurements of the Noege power primaries, and also we must estimate the real physical ink area for each primary, which typically will differ from the nominal one because of physical dot gain in the printing process. We use an experimental image acquisition system. It's a 12-bit CCD sensor, monochrome camera equipped with macro optics. And in this case, we have a resolution corresponding to 2 microns per pixel. The illumination is provided using a tungsten halogen lamp through optical fibers. And we can actually vary the angle of incidence and also use a backlight setup and rotate the sample around the optical axis, which is not used in this study. And the color images are acquired by using color filters mounted in a filter wheel in front of the light source. So besides the conventional RGB filters, we also have a set of more narrowband interference filters. So here's a part of a microscopic RGB image. This is a 40% blue halftone. This 40% magenta, 40% cyan. And the first step, of course, is to convert this device-dependent RGB into XYZ values. We'll not go into the details here because it has been presented elsewhere, but we do this by polynomial regression. This imaging system has been very thoroughly characterized in previous works. So from the XYZ images, we compute 3D histograms in XYZ color space. And when you have an image of a printed halftone, where the resolution of the image is high compared to the resolution of the halftone, you will typically have these clusters for the Noege power primaries, corresponding to cyan, magenta, the overlapping blue, and the unprinted paper. So to derive the microcolorimetric values for each of the Noege power primaries, we locate these clusters and compute the centers of gravity. Next step is to find the physical ink area coverage for each of the primaries, which requires us to separate the different inks in the images. And as I said, we had a set of interference filters, which covers the visible wavelengths of the spectrum. And we can make use of the fact that the different inks absorbs and reflects light in different wavelength bands. So we continue with this cyan and magenta example. We see that if you use this filter around 700 nanometer, the cyan is highly absorbing and magenta is very reflective. If you use this filter on the other hand, then cyan is reflecting and magenta absorbing. The difference is not that large, but it's still enough. So this is the result if we use these filters. So this is an image acquired with a 700 nanometer filters. You see that the cyan ink is very clearly visible and the magenta completely disappears. For the other filter, you can still see some shadows of cyan while the magenta is clearly visible. But despite of this shadow of cyan, it's still very easy to find a proper threshold and segment the image. So the result of the segmentation is that we have the primary inks separated. But we need, of course, the areas for all the combinations, which is easily found just by combining the masks, saying that where we have masks for both cyan and magenta, it will be the secondary blue. Here is the mask combined with RGB images. And where we have no of the mask is the unprinted paper. So this is the result when we apply this for a series of cyan and magenta print, the full lines are the results after this segmentation, and the dotted line are the results from using de Michel equations. However, for the de Michel equation, it's not the nominal dot area that is used, but the physical one computed from single colorant prints. And they correspond rather well. The printed samples used in this study was offset prints on coated paper using AM halftones, and we limit it to just two colorant combination in this study. So the different combination of cyan, magenta, and yellow. And for each, there are 24 color patches with different coverage. So the result when using this methodology compared to measurements by spectrophotometer, full line are measurements, and the dots or crosses or whatever are the results from the model. This is for the blueprint, cyan and magenta. Similar for green, cyan and yellow. And for the red, you see that they're all relatively close. So if we sum up these results, this is the prediction errors for all the 72 patches. And this is different from measurements by a spectrophotometer and the predicted values using the microscopic images. So it's rather small, relatively small prediction errors. So it's clear that as long as you can measure these microreflectors, the model is working. If we then look at what is used in the model, these micro colorimetric values, this is for blueprint, the different Noether bioprimaries. So this is how the trisomy values for the unprinted paper, the printer between the dots, varies with the total dot area. The same for the cyan dots, the magenta, and the overlapping blue. We see that there's quite large variation depending on this the different ink area coverage. So it's very far from the case where you have a constant reflectance for the ink in the paper. If we look at this, the paper between the dots when printed with cyan and magenta, we can compare it with the measurements for the paper printed with only cyan or only magenta, where the full lines are magenta and the cyan are the dotted ones. So you see they're quite different. The reflectance of the unprinted paper between the dots is very different depending on what is printed. So for cyan, you have a much lower C component compared to magenta because you have higher absorption in this wavelength band, and the opposite for the X component. And this is also true for the printed dots. This is the measurements for the magenta ink. The full lines are for the magenta when printed together with cyan, but it's still only the magenta dots, not the overprints. And the dotted one is for a single print with magenta. But you see that the largest difference is in the X and Y component, where this cyan print has its largest absorption. The same, but with yellow instead. Then you have closer to the case for X and Y, closer to the case with only magenta, but you have very large difference for the C component, where yellow absorbs. So to summarize this, we had very good experimental results, which shows that the methodology works. But of course, to use it, it requires these microreflectance measurements, so it's not very useful in practice. If you look at how the microreflectance varies with the dot area, we see that there's a very large variation depending on the dot area, and also a very strong effect of the surrounding inks. And I think an important lesson from this is, because of this, to recognize this very strong, large variation in the microreflectances, you should avoid the idea of thinking of optical dot gain as a paper with constant reflectance and printed dot with constant reflectance, and optical dot gain has the effect of increased dot area, because that's not, actually not the case. And to make this of any practical use, what we need, of course, is some way to model how the reflectance of the primaries varies with the dot area. The optimal case would be if you could relate this to properties as the substrate, the printing metallurgy, and the halftone use. We already know from previous study that the halftone geometry and halftone resolution has a very great impact. Okay, thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yeah, thanks for this interesting presentation. I was asking myself how far would it be possible to use a kind of classical standard scanner to replace the microscope for these micro measurements?
I'm sorry, I didn't. How?
Could you replace, you know, the setup, optical setup, with a microscope by a scanner, because you have high-resolution scanners, and would it possible to, by just using these scanners, to get similar results or enough information that you could work on this framework?
An ordinary flat-panel scanner, or
Yeah,
I think it might be possible. I mean, what it comes down to is a good characterization, so you can convert it to the colorimetric values. But there's a lot of work done on flat path scanners also, so it might be possible. Okay. This system, of course, you can do a lot more because you can vary the light source and have more filters. And
exactly.
But to some extent, it should be possible.
So you think you need your interference filters to really separate the primaries?
It makes it easier. But not necessarily. If you can do the assumption that the physical dot area will be the same for the single color imprint and the multicolor imprint, and you can find the physical dot areas from a single color imprint and then use the Demichel to compute it for the multicolor case. Mm-hmm. Actually, in this case, One combination which is very difficult, even with the interference filter, is yellow and on magenta. So for this case, we used the Demichel from the single color imprints.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? No? Okay, thank you. So I'd like to thank Daniel for your presentation. You.